If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel chapter 9 again. Daniel chapter 9. And what a chapter this is, as Daniel, now is old, finds himself in Babylon after the captivity. And Daniel has literally grown up in Babylon and he's become a great man of God in the kingdom of Babylon. God has used him in dreams and visions. And here in the ninth chapter of Daniel, one morning, Daniel woke up and he usually would read his Bible and would pray. And he began to read the Bible and began to see that 70 years were determined for the people of God to be in captivity. And so Daniel was reading the prophet Jeremiah's book. They didn't have books like we have, but the scroll. And Jeremiah had been dead for 40 some years already. And as he was reading the scriptures, all of a sudden he realized that the time of captivity was just about over and that God was going to release his people to go back to Jerusalem. Now, the most amazing thing about the prophecy is that the Jews in Babylon learn from becoming farmers, they learn to become the best business financial people in the whole world, even today. And when you read the history of the Jews, and you read the scriptures like Hosea and Isaiah, and you read the book of Malachi, and you began to see that when the time came in the book of Haggai for the people of God to return to Babylon after 70 years, only 55,000 returned and the rest stayed in Babylon. They didn't want to leave. They became comfortable. They bought homes. They had families there. But the 55,000 that returned, God used them to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. So you can imagine how Daniel must have felt sitting there studying the Word of God, and it's always God's Word that brings us to prayer. I want to make that clear to you this morning. That as people take time to read the Bible, after you begin to read the Word of God, God will lead you to prayer. He will reveal to you his will. And this is what happened to Daniel. He saw from the Bible what God had said and how God answered and forgave his people for their sins. It was God's perfect time in the history of the Jews. But not only would God allow Daniel to receive the answer to prayer on the 70th week of Daniel, but also God would show him the future of the nation of Israel and the future of the world, even unto the time of the Gentiles. It's amazing how the Bible is so clear when it comes to the Word of God. And I feel that wherever God's people read the Bible and what God has said in the Bible, decisions can be made clearly through the Word of God. Why? Because we take the Word of God very serious. Very serious. And what the Word of God does, it brings me to a place of conviction. To ask God to forgive me for what I have done against Him. You see, it's so important that we understand that every single day we have to confess our sins. Why? Because when I'm reading the Bible is revealing God's perfect will for my life. And if I am a spiritual person, and am I allowing the Holy Spirit to deal and work within my personal life, then the Word of God is going to bring conviction to my heart. And it's going to draw me to my knees before God to plead for His mercy and His grace and His love and forgiveness. I am convinced of that. That's why in 1 John, the little epistle in the New Testament, When John the Beloved was writing this little epistle, he said this in verse 9 and 10 of chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. For you and I to say that we have not sinned against God is to make God a liar, to call him a liar to his face. That's why it's important to repent, confess your sins to God. And this is exactly what we did last Sunday night, if you were here for the Sunday night service. It was so good to see this place packed out with people that came to pray. And as we pray for Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world, and as God began to touch people through worship and through the Word of God and through prayer and brought them to confession and repentance, and the Lord began to really do a work within the heart of each individual person here, it was a night to be remembered in the body of Christ. It's not the last one we'll do. There'll be more. Why? Because we want to align ourselves with the will of God. We want to know God. We want to know His power. When we prayed last Sunday night, we asked God to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us and to wash us and to use us. And this is the same thing Daniel did. What an awesome man Daniel was. We see him constantly in communion with his God. Personal God to Daniel. That was his heart. And the last Sunday we met, we saw Daniel beginning his prayer. And how he begins his prayer is really amazing and awesome because he doesn't begin with making a bunch of requests. He begins with humility of himself before God. I'm standing in the presence of a holy God, and I am not a holy person. Notice that. The consciousness as we stand in the presence of God to pray to God. Daniel's heart was fully connected with his God. And we know that in these last days, we're going to need to learn from Daniel how we should pray. Look what's going on today. And the world is really falling apart. I mean, if this was a time where people's hearts would fail them, it is today. Especially if they don't know Jesus Christ. Why doesn't my heart fail? Because I know what's going to happen. I know what God already told me was going to happen to the world. It doesn't shock me anymore. Nothing really shocks me anymore. Because things are not only building up, but the Lord is coming back again. And Daniel was living in a very stressful time, even as we are today. They had been under captivity for 70 years almost. And God was getting ready to release his people. So when Daniel stands before God, he prays and he asks God to forgive him and his people for their sins. And yet Daniel, if you read the book of Daniel, not once does the book of Daniel ever mention Daniel ever sinning against God. And of course, he was human. He probably sinned. But I mean, Daniel was such a complete person in the kingdom of God. And yet in these last days, we need to learn from Daniel how to approach the throne of God with boldness. Boldness. Hebrews chapter 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." In time of need. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of times of need in my life. And I want to come into the presence of God. And I want to approach the throne of God not in fear, but in boldness. Why? Because I know that God answers prayer. God listens to our prayers when we commune with God. And then at the same time, I realize that God wants me to seek Him, But in order for me to seek him, I must be at peace with God. And I must have my heart aligned with God's perfect will in my life. Why? Because in 2 Chronicles, Solomon 7:14 said this, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I, God, will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." That's what Solomon wrote. And I believe it with all my heart. It's a popular prayer that we use constantly, but do we really believe it? Can we act upon what actually Solomon wrote? And then the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 55, 6 and 7, said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly forgive you." God wants to forgive you, but at the same time, God wants you to seek him with all of your heart. He wants you to be honest in your worship of God. He doesn't want you to lie to him or to do things that are not right before him. You see, we notice that Daniel begins his own prayer here by not coming to God in arrogance or pride. But how does he come to God? He comes in all humility, fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He said, "Well, what does that have to do with us?" Well, that was the culture of the Orient when they would pray. You see, sackcloth and ashes were old, dirty clothes that a person would wear when he was like a mechanic trying to work on his car, get real greasy. That's the only time you would put sackcloth and ashes, when you were doing dirty work. And yet, it was not the robe that he washed down at the river every morning, but it was a robe and a sack, an old sack that was hanging there for many, many, many months and years. And he would put it on symbolically as a gesture. He found some ashes and he burned down, you know, as he went to sacrifice to his God, to Jehovah God, the ashes from the animals they would barbecue on the altar. He would take the ashes and take them on his hand and put them all over into his hair. And the ashes on his head would actually represent a total humility and irritation and stripping of myself before God as I stand in the presence of a holy God. It was a sign of remorse, a sign of humility, and a sign that I am nothing and God is everything in my life. You see? These things are written for our example so we can learn from them. That's why 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Who exalts us? He does. When? In his time. You see? Not our time. So we learn a lot, you know, a lot about not only prayer and reading the Word of God, but we learn the reason behind this prayer. That Daniel, he was aware of God's word. His approach to God was, and his attitude came when he stood before God and he opened the scroll and he began to read the scroll. And in the scroll, in reading the word of God convicted him and drew him to his knees. That's the format here. And I wonder how many of us sitting here this morning have come like Daniel, with great expectancy in our hearts. Some of you are sitting here with great weights and burdens in your hearts. But have you taken those to the Lord this morning? He wants you to bring them. But in order for us to bring these heavy weights and burdens that we have within our own hearts, first of all, we have to clear the way for fellowship before God. Because we cannot approach God in our sins. No possible way. We have to confess our sins. We have to repent of our sins. And then the line can be clear. And we can come into the presence of God and we can begin to ask God for our personal needs as we enter into the holiest of holies. And as God not only speaks to our own hearts, but as He begins to answer our prayers. Notice, first of all, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 and 4, we have the recognition here of God's relationship to the people of God. Notice what Daniel says. Then I, Daniel, set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer, supplication, and fasting, and sackcloth and ashes. You see, people of the book are people of prayer. People of the book are people of prayer. People that believe the Bible will become people of prayer. And we notice that Daniel here is very devoted to his God. He said, I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications. Daniel was a man very devoted to his God. Daniel's prayer grew out of what? Of understanding the Word of God. Notice what I said. Daniel's prayer came out of understanding the Word of God. You'll never be able to understand what God is trying to say to you unless you understand His Word. Understanding the Word of God, as we study it carefully, as we spend time in prayer and in the Word of God, those are the priorities for the child of God. And it's so neat because, you know, we see that God, here in as Daniel is praying to his God, he's praying because the Word of God, notice, drew him to his knees to stand in the presence of God and ask God for his people. For his people that were in need. And yet, in verse 4, I see four things. First of all, we see Daniel not only in self-denial. Look at verse 4. And then I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments. I came up in verse 4 with the four P's. Number one P is this: personal fellowship with God. Daniel had personal fellowship with God. I prayed to the Lord, notice, my God. My God, not your God, not their God, my God. Daniel was in communion with God. Fellowship. It's not, he wasn't coming into a stranger's house. He didn't feel ashamed or embarrassed. He came with boldness into the presence of God, you know, like a father and a son relationship. And so when he stood before God, he says, I prayed to the Lord my God. And second P is personal confession. Notice that. Personal communion, personal confession. And I made confession. You see, he stood before God. And what does he do? He wants to clear the line to make sure there is nothing that is hindering his prayer. He wants a clear line before God and him. I think that's good to do that. As we stand before God and we confess every sin that is hidden within our hearts. Every thought, evil thought that has come into our hearts and minds, we should confess. We should walk with a clear mind as we wash our minds with the Word of God. And so hear this confession that is made by Daniel. And thirdly, personal, notice, personal, we call this personal confession, but personal exaltation before God. He said, O Lord, great and awesome God. Notice that. He enters into the presence of God with exaltation, glorifying God. Not looking down on God, but looking up to God as He is the God of heaven. He is my God. The one that I'm seeking after, the one that I want to know personally, the one that whenever I'm doubting in my mind or my heart, that doubt is taken out of the way because I can go back and look at previous times when He answered my prayers. He's never let me down. Daniel knew that. That's why he's writing out his whole prayer. And then I like this fourth one, the fourth P. First one is personal fellowship. Second one is personal confession. And third one, personal exaltation. And then last one is personal covenant keeper. God keeps His word. God keeps His promises with each one of us. He says, who keeps His agreements or His covenant. How? And mercy with those who love Him and those who obey Him. There's the condition. Obeying God, notice, and loving God. Loving and obeying God. You have to obey what God says. And I think that when we come into that place together and we ask God not only to bless us and to anoint us and to use us, that when I stand in the presence of God with personal fellowship, personal confession, personal exaltation, personal covenant keeper, then we can move into the next verse, 5 and 6, where we recognize the rebellion of my people, and I recognize the rebellion that I had against God. Then God can deal with me. Look at Daniel begins in verse 5. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Daniel sounds like a Frenchman. We, oui, we. Oui. Notice all the way through the prayer. We, us, our. You can mark all those little sayings that he brings about. But it's so cool because here is Daniel not saying they have sinned. How many times do we point the finger? Like Romaine used to say, you got one point finger at one person, but there's three coming back to you. So be careful. I go like this now. So what does he mean by that? What he means is that he's saying, hey God, I am with them. Hey, that's cool. I am with them. We, together, notice, have sinned and committed iniquity. Now we're getting somewhere. Why? We're clearing the way for God. And then, notice, we have done wickedly and we rebel even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. What do you mean, Daniel? Hey, we did not keep your word. We broke your word. We disobeyed it. And it's so incredible when you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, 29, and 30 concerning Israel. In chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, only 14 verses. If you start reading the first 14 verses of chapter 28, it's all blessings. But from verse 15 through chapter 29, in chapter 30, it's all cursings. All cursings. Because of their disobedience. God knew they were going to disobey Him. And God knows you. God knows me. He knows our rebellion against Him. How we hear the Word of God and we read the Word of God, but many times we break the Word of God by sinning against God. We don't obey what God says. And then look what else He says. Neither have we listened to your servant, the prophets. We didn't listen to Ezekiel. We didn't listen to Isaiah. We didn't listen to Haggai. We didn't listen to any one of the prophets you sent to us with your word. We ignored them. We worshiped other gods. We burned our children in the fire to Molech. We did all these things, God, against you. And it says, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princesses and to our fathers and all the people of the land. Notice, we were pre-warned. God, you warned us through prophets and kings and even leaders. And yet, to your word, and we did not listen. Daniel is getting somewhere. Daniel is being upfront with God. He's not even asking for anything yet. He's dealing with himself and his life and the life of the people in Babylon that were there because of their sin. And this is what we need to do with our own lives. We need to deal with sin in our lives. God wants to do a great work in your life, but are you willing to clear the way by repentance? Are you willing to confess? Let me show you something in the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. Turn with me. David's great psalm when he sinned against Bathsheba. David had committed a great sin, the sin of adultery, the sin of murder. And yet, David, in his older age, probably the age of 58 years old, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, wrote this great Psalm 51 that is not only to be read daily, but to be memorized if you can. Why? Because it's almost identical to Daniel's prayer. Look what he says, beginning with verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Notice that. God, remember what you said to me. Secondly, blot out my transgressions. He deals with the issue of sin constantly. And then check this out. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Have you ever had your sin ever before you, something you did that constantly haunts you? Oh yeah. David had it too. Constantly haunting you. But check this out. He says, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Lord, I didn't even hide it. I tried to hide it, but you saw it. Why? Because he's omnipresent. He sees everything. Where can you hide from God? In the closet? Up in the mountains? Out in the sea? Out in one of the hotels? It doesn't matter where you go. Even if you go underground, God sees everything you do. And David realized this. Lord, you see everything, and every sin that I have committed, it was in your sight. You saw it. Then check this out. He says, I acknowledge my sin. Then he says, verse 3 again, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against you have I sinned and done this evil thing against in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and check this out, and blameless when you judge me. I like that. Lord, be careful when you judge me. Don't judge me like the wicked. Behold, I was brought up forth in iniquity or sin, and in sin my mother conceived me. Why? Because of Adam and Eve. They blew it in the Garden of Eden. The whole human race came into sin. And he realizes the nature of sin. It started when I was born in my mother's womb. When I came out of my mother's womb, I was born a sinner. Then look what he says. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and wash me clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And what does he promise us? That he'll take your sins and he'll cast them as far as to the east to the west, and bury them in the deepest part of the ocean and remember them no more. You see? I don't care what kind of cleansing soap you use to wash a product or a shirt or whatever it is, it will never be as white as snow as God has done to your hearts when you truly repent, when you truly acknowledge your sin before God. Then he says this. He says, make me to hear the joy and the gladness that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. What is he talking about? He's talking about a person that is living a life of sin and not confessing it and trying to get away with it like he did for a year and a half. And what happens when you sin like that against God? You feel sick. Even your bones ache.
when you have committed a great sin against God, you don't feel good. You don't have the joy and the peace of God. You see? He says, take care of that, God. Then look what else he says. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Amen to that. Lord, allow conviction to still be there. The saddest thing for a person is when God no longer is convicting that person, and you don't hear the voice of conviction anymore. That's a sad place to be in. Then look what else he says. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then, God, if you bring back that joy and peace and you renew me, I promise that I am going to do what? Watch this. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. I'm going to go out and tell people about you. I'm going to lead people to you, O God, because of the mercies and the grace and the love and the forgiveness you've given to me, and all because of prayer. All because of prayer. Fathers, mothers, you need to pray together. Together, and you need to pray with your children. Body of Christ, we need to pray together. Because we are living in terrible, terrible days. And they're going to get more terrible. We need to be bathed in the power of prayer even here this morning. Father, we come before you this morning to ask you that you would be with each one of us individually. And Father, we pray for those in the fellowship hall here in the sanctuary. And Lord, you know every person by name. You know their hearts. You know they're sitting up and they're rising ups, Father, and they're sitting downs. And Lord God, we pray if there's any person here today that doesn't know you. We're so glad you're here today. This is the place to start with repentance and confession. And if there's anyone here today that is not a Christian, and you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess them to him, and to believe by faith that Jesus Christ can cleanse you and wash you by his blood, and then write your name in the book of life, and then he'll give you eternal life, I want to challenge you this morning.